Cause who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler, if you think old England's done?
Hello, this is David Benson here, and I'm with Jack Lane.
Hello!
And we're in Mold, north of Wales, and very happy to be talking to all you Dad's Army fans. I was the one who first had the idea to do this as a show, a radio show on stage. And it came to me because in the show I do about Kenneth Williams called Think No Evil of Us, I do in that show as myself some very quick Dad's Army impressions. And some people have said to me for many years, why don't you do a whole show about Dad's Army, a one-man show about Dad's Army? And I thought about it for a decade, and I just couldn't think of a way of doing it that would amuse me and not, you know, be too much like hard work to do all the characters as one person. So then it occurred to me, well, nobody's ever done the radio version of Dad's Army, because you've had Round the Horn on stage, Hancock's Half Hour, which any others?
Goon Show,
and many others. But I thought, well, Dad's Army was done on the radio in the 1970s with the original cast, most of the original episodes done in audio form, so why not ask for permission and see if I could do that on stage? And then, having got the permission, I thought, well, I don't really want to do it on my own. Who else could I ask to do a show like this? A very specific kind of performer required, who can switch voices and characters very, very sharply and quickly. And of course, I thought of Jack Lane, who's right here.
Hello.
Here is who I saw doing his brilliant show about Norman Wisdom back in 2015. And I called him up, luckily. Oh, actually, it went like this. I said, Jack, are you a Dad's Army fan? And he said something like,
yes, I am.
Recreating that moment. And actually, he told me that he loved the radio version since he was a child, had the tapes and used to play them to go to sleep at night, and could quote great chunks. And I said, you don't want to do a show with me, do you, about Dad's Army at the Edinburgh Fringe? And he said, okay. And so we've been doing it ever since 2017, to answer your question, Andrew. Yeah.
To be honest with you, they were so steeped in it from a very young age. We kind of knew it back to front, inside out anyway. I had a massive head start because I used to, as David said, listen to the radio versions at night when I was age 6, 7. I adored listening to them, all these characters. I actually probably heard them first before I saw them. And I was obsessed with them. I bought every video that was released by the BBC. I had the whole series before the DVDs eventually came out. And I just, these were friends to me, you know. I just adored these wonderful characters. And I could watch them umpteen times. I mean, I've probably seen each episode, I dread to think, hundreds of times. And they still make me laugh, still. And that's a very rare thing, I think, in comedy. Most comedy now is what I would call Chinese takeaway comedy, where it fulfills you briefly, but then afterwards you've forgotten about it. You want more.
You want another.
But Dad's Army's roast dinner comedy. You feel full up and completely forced by it.
Yeah. And terrible flatulence.
No, don't.
Hang on, that's another show. No, listen. Anyway, so yes, the research is kind of, well, you all come to the theatre when you see the show, and you know the characters. Very few people come who aren't familiar with Dad's Army. And so there, a lot of the work is done for us, in a way. But what's so wonderful about this version of the show is that we have special permission from the David Croft and Perry Estates, through Penny Croft, David Croft's daughter, to adapt episodes that weren't done for the radio, which is the ones we're doing now on the road. And she said, look, you know, you've done the classics, Deadly Attachment, Mum's Army, you know, all the greats. Why not have a look at doing some of the ones from the later series, like series 8 and 9, that weren't covered by the radio series, and you will give you rights to do your own adaptations of those, and you know, see how they go. So that's what we're doing right now, and we rather like them, don't we?
I love these ones. We've done quite big set pieces in the past with Round and Round with the Great Big Wheel, chasing after the barrage balloon on a fire engine.
The balloon went up with the barrage balloon.
Yeah, and
which you can do on the radio. can't do that on stage.
No.
On the radio, you can suggest that, that Captain Mannering and Jones are on a log being carried across the Deptford countryside and pursued by the van.
It would cost you a lot of money on stage if you were doing a free stage production.
Radio, you can do it.
With these ones, it's a lot more concentration just on the characters and their interaction, which I actually like. Really get to have time with Mannering and Wilson in the office and all the lovely exchange and the class war going on there. So these three are actually much more of a zoom in on the characters, which I'm really enjoying.
We could do a little bit, couldn't we, off the cuff? There's a bit where they're talking about class, isn't there, where he's talking about wedding marriages.
Oh, yes.
So you can do a memory off the cuff. It goes something like... Yeah.
Oh, yes, his family is a stir up the trouble, you know. I had to contend with all sorts of snobbish rubbish when I married Elizabeth.
Oh, really? Did you marry beneath you, as it were?
Oh, no. No, the family rather thought that she did.
Oh, I see.
She's very well connected, you know, Elizabeth. Okay. Her father was the suffragan bishop of Cleckthorpe.
Oh, was he really?
Oh, yes.
There you go. So, do you think of the same class?
Oh, do you think... Oh, yes, no doubt about it, yes. What does he say? You know, Elizabeth hadn't even tried tomato sauce before she met me. I soon put that right.
Yes, marrying you must have opened up a whole new world to us.
Oh, yes, it did. Absolutely. No, undoubtedly.
So that kind of thing, which we do actually have the scripts in front of us, we're doing it off the cuff now, but it's such lovely writing. It's like the way people do talk, and it's not knockabout. The laughs aren't obviously jokes, punchline. It's conversation. And I think that's why this particular version of the show we're doing now, where we're only a few performances into this new version, I think it's the best we've done, just because in a way they're the best scripts, and particularly the final script, which is our act two for the show, is Never Too Old, the very last episode. And it's beautiful. I think they really threw everything at that episode. It's got a great Fraser story. It's got a lovely wedding, which always is lovely in a drama, a nice wedding scene. Very touching, some very touching moments with Jones.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Fox and others. And so we love doing it, and we'll be doing it tonight in Mould, Clwyd, North Wales. Well, we had to do a bit of work on some of them, maybe, that we'd not attempted before. For instance, doing, in my case, Walker. See, I imagine when we first got the scripts, when we were 2017, we started to work on it, we read them and we tried out all the voices between us. And then it was finally settled, well, he does the best Mannering, I do the best Wilson, he does the best Pike and Jones, I do the best Fraser, Godfrey, whatever. So that's the way it kind of sorted itself out with the parts. But there are some like Walker, you see, which I'd never done before, Katie Mannering, you know, all that. And what's he say, Walker? Here, if you bust your specs, I've got a bloke that's got 500 frames, hardly used. I'll give you a very good price for them. You know, that kind of voice. And I actually found it came quite easily to me, eventually.
Yeah, Mannering was probably the hardest for me to tackle, just because of his vocal range and how he's much lower than me, and finding that. So that took me quite a while to get him down.
And of course, Jack has an extra challenge now, because we're doing My Brother and I, where he plays Barry Mannering as well as the brother.
Which is also difficult because obviously they're played by Arthur Lowe, so you've got to keep a very similar type of voice, but obviously Barry's northern, so you've got that to save you. But when they're talking to each other in the bedroom scene, the famous bedroom scene where he comes to meet him, it's just making those changes very clear and trying to make sure Mannering stays very clipped, and then you go into slurry Barry Mannering with his northern tones, and then...
Barry Mannering, jokes, carnival novelties. And he talks all like that. You know, you want a drink? It's real scotch.
And then go back to Mannering, which is very clipped and... So there's a really, really got to concentrate during that scene, and it's a joy to, I love doing it, but it is...
It's a little tour de force, but I stand back and let him go on with it.
A little 5 minutes of a brain scramble.
Yeah.
It's a joy to do.
It's beautiful. I mean, I love it. I feel privileged because I get to watch it close up every night on stage. And I thoroughly enjoy the show every night. I feel very lucky to be there. Well, Jeff?
It's it's got to be Mannering for me. I just adore him. Arthur's timing, Arthur's drunk. He's a thing of beauty to watch. He's a master. He's an absolute master. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's in full control. Although he was a bit of a sod for not reading his script sometimes. So you can see there's a little thought process goes on of what's my next line. But that all adds to the character. Yes. All adds to the rhythms of Mannering. So he was a wildly talented performer, actor.
And not only that, I would say about Arthur Lowe, but he's also like a compendium of old school comedy technique.
Yes, yes. Oh, he's pulling on. I mean, he's drunk. He's Charles Laughton. If you look at Charles Laughton in
Hobson's Choice
in the drunk scene, it's very similar. And I would imagine he was pulling on all sorts of various comedy. Yeah.
But so many of his mannerisms, his little,
Laurel Hardy,
W.C. Fields, you can see.
Yeah.
Will
yeah.
Hayes. Yeah. Of course, I love the measure. Charlton Wilson is my particular favorite. But it has been since I was a schoolboy, a Brummie schoolboy going to a Birmingham comprehensive school, you know, and I think being John LeMesh, just thinking my way into it, sort of, oh, an awfully pretty uniform, really, it's awfully attractive. Well, you know, it just kind of helped me survive mentally. So, we love them all, but there are those particular favourites. Again, there's so many to choose from, aren't there?
Yeah.
I love Branded. I remember seeing Brandon when I was a child and being very upset by it. Poor Godfrey being absolutely humiliated by that Mannering. And then coming out as the hero at the end. To me, that's just a wonderful dramatic arc for anything, whether it's a drama or a comedy or anything. To have somebody go from zero to hero is always very moving. So that's a particular favourite of mine. We're not doing that one. I wish we were.
No, we're not. No. I think for me, it's a toss-up between Mum's Army and My Brother and I.
Of course.
I adore Mum's Army because it's the first time we see Mannering vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I think it was quite a joke for the series, that episode. It was probably the first time, maybe the only time, I think, that sort of a plot line came up. And we saw Mannering completely taken by this woman that's come into his life all of a sudden and chasing after her at the station, and it's just beautifully written, beautifully performed. It was a flawless episode.
Atypical, of course. It's not your usual Dad's Army episode.
Yes.
In that Mannering is behaving out of character.
Yeah. So I think I like it so much. I think it was quite a new thing for the audience to be seeing Mannering in that situation.
Yeah. Of course, wonderful Carmen Silvera.
Yeah, she's a million bucks in it.
Just lovely in that role as Mrs. Grey. I wish I'd said that now. Mum's Army, love Mum's Army. Always, at least performing it every night used to make me cry.
Yeah, it was.
I found it very hard to get some of the lines up. It's so choked up. But that's the writing seats all. Brilliant. I mean, Terry and Croft, what would we have done without them? Because they brought so much joy to this country. Mm. All the work they did on many, many different projects and series. It was all top notch.
Yeah.
So we're eternally grateful to them. I think there should be a statue to them somewhere.
They should, somewhere in
Texas. Yeah, or in London. The programme, yes, it's actually. What I like about the programme is I asked Penny Croft, I said, would you say a few words, a little quote we could put in the programme? She's written a whole page about the show, which is lovely. And the badge was Jack's idea.
Yeah, that came from the logo that we had produced for the show, the new tour, by our lovely designer, James Drury. And I thought it was such a lovely logo. That would actually work really nicely as a pin badge. And I thought, I'd like some merchandise for the show, but I don't want it to be tacky. So I thought this was actually a really classy way to sort of celebrate the show and have a sort of a limited edition collectible item for it. And so we had these badges made, and I was so pleased.
It's a little arrow, you know, one of the arrows at the beginning of the point. So it's a little Union Jack arrow with the words Dad's Army and then Radio Show Art and the on the Union Jack, and it's a lovely little thing, beautiful. We wear them on our costumes, great pride.
Yeah, and they're already flying off the shelves.
How much are they?
£3.
White paper.
A bargain
for a collector. But we need to think of some more products, I think, you know. And any ideas, please contact us on the Dad's Army Radio Show Facebook page, or we have another, where else?
We're Twitter, or the website.
Or our website,
Radio Show.
dadsarmyradioshow.co.uk. We're very accessible, listeners, as you can tell. And we're going next, our next stop after we've been at Theatre Clwyd this week is on Sunday the 9th. At the Little Theatre Leicester, although it's sold out, I'm told. Sorry, listener. Then we go to Redhill, Harlequin on the 13th, Thursday the 13th. You do so.
Yeah, and then we're going Monday 17th of Market Harbour back in Leicester.
Which, if you can't get it at the Little Theatre Leicester, try Market Harbour.
Yeah, although, having said that, that's selling extremely quickly as well. So do get in quick.
Okay.
18th of February, Swansea Grand Theatre, which is also selling well. Saturday 22nd of February, Churchill Theatre.
Churchill Theatre, Bromley. What could be more Dad's Army than the Churchill Theatre? Saturday the 22nd.
February 28th, Gala Theatre, Durham. Lovely.
That's an exciting one. Are we? You're in Durham.
I've been there for
from land of my mother's. My mother's family's from there.
And we're blast through March very quickly. The Old Laundry Theatre, Windermere.
Fantastic.
Hullabaloo in Darlington Hippodrome.
Darlington.
Warsaw Arena Arts Centre.
Warsaw.
Tamworth Assembly Rooms.
Then we go to... now we're very excited. On the Saturday the 7th of March, we're going to be in Peel in the Isle of Man. Doing the show at the Centenary Centre there. That's a very one. Very excited about going to the Isle of Man. And then we go to March 13th, Margate Theatre Royal, which again a great favourite of ours.
Love
it. Played it many times. 14th, Ipswich Woolsey.
Another gem.
Another favourite of ours.
And then we're off to Westcliff Theatre, Clacton.
Clacton, I've never set foot in Clacton in my life.
There we are. The first room. My second home, the capital, Horsham. God love you all.
Horsham, yes.
Horsham, dear Horsham. And then Civic Theatre, Chelmsford. The Epstein Theatre, Liverpool. And the Brook Theatre, Chatham. That takes us through the end of March.
We're very excited about the Epstein in Liverpool, because Liverpool, as you know, listeners, if there are any listeners out there, Liverpool has the best audiences in the country, the warmest, biggest laughers. We love, very excited about coming to Liverpool.
Yeah.
I used to live in Liverpool, so it's a second home to me. So very excited about that. All of these, and this is going on, that's February, March, but we are continuing into April and May with them, and then the autumn. So do check the website, dadsarmyradioshow.com. What is it? It's right there, .co.uk. And you'll find all the tour dates there.